You are listening to Irish Radio Canada's Home and Abroad, and we are in the height of the St. Patrick's season, because this being the week of St. Patrick's Day, activities run. While they start on St. Patrick's Day themselves, they don't stop. And we're heading down east. We're heading down east, where it is also, it shares being a provincial holiday with Ireland being a national holiday, because St. Patrick's Day in Newfoundland is a holiday. And back in 2001, at the Newfoundland Museum on St. Patrick's Day, Dermot O'Reilly and Fergus O'Brien, with Jerry Strong and Colin Carrigan, did a recording. And the Newfoundland Museum, as I understand it, no longer exists where it did then. Much of the exhibits, etc., have been moved. But certainly an historic event. Fergus O'Byrne, originally from Dublin, Northside, emigrated back in the 70s and has settled comfortably in Newfoundland after a brief spell in Toronto. Fergus, tough out your oath. Great to have you here. Delighted to have a chat with you.
Well, my God. Yes, no, it's great to be here. And I just sent you this information this morning, and I was quite surprised. I was on my way in to do another interview when you called, and it was great that I got you, because, I came to Canada in 1967, in August of 1967, and landed in Toronto in the middle of a heat wave in a nice Irish woolen suit. And I was going looking for jobs, going for interviews. My God, I thought I was going to die. But, I stayed in Toronto 4 years, and I was only over in Toronto about, I'd say, maybe about 8 months before I turned professional musician. I had no intentions of being a professional musician at the time. I mean, I had no idea what I was going to be at. I was going to work it in an office or whatever. But anyway, I ended up at the Windsor House. And if anybody knows Toronto, they know the Windsor House, Jimmy McVeigh. And met up with a bunch of other lads and got involved singing and playing in the pub. And we were called the Sons of Erin at the time. And then that sort of evolved into Sullivan's Gypsies, and then evolved into Ryan's Fancy. The three of us, myself and Dennis Ryan from Tipperary and Dermot from Drimna, we decided to move to Newfoundland in 1971 to go to university and just play music on the side to pay for our fees. But then, you know, we were very fortunate. Ryan's Fancy got a television network show on CBC, and then we were on with Tommy Makem on CTV and CHCH. And so one thing led to another, and I just sort of fell into this music career, and 55 years later, here I am, still at it. Some people say you got no better sense. But
there you go. Fergus, go back to Sons of Erin. Who were the members of that?
There was myself and Ralph O'Brien.
Yeah.
And Gary Kavanagh from Pala.
Yeah.
And Dermot. Dermot joined us around the beginning of that.
Right.
And in fact, it was really weird because, we had another guy with us, and he was leaving the band, and Dermot was supposed to join us. But my relationship with Dermot started about 15 minutes before we were supposed to go on stage. Dermot walked in, and I said, I was the main guitar player with the band, and he was a guitar player. And I said, well, what key do you do that? And what key do you do this? And then, right, here we go. And that was it.
Right.
That was our first rehearsal. So we formed the band Ryan's Fancy, and then when Ryan's Fancy disbanded, Dermot kind of went his way and I went my way, and staying in St. John's, but we still worked together as a duo.
Right.
But I started touring a lot with other people, and Jim Payne in particular, and other bands. But we would always get together in St. John's and play at O'Reilly's pub in particular. And we had always intended to do a recording, which we never, ever did. But I had this recording of this show that we had done at the museum, the Newfoundland Museum, that CBC had recorded. And I would listen to it every now and then. And I finally asked a sound guy, I said, look, the quality of this, it sounds good enough to me to put out. And he said, yeah, no, it does. It sounds good. So anyway, between the jigs and the reels, but I managed to acquire the rights to it from CBC and finally got it out as a digital recording. So to listen to it or to buy it, you have to go to the site singsonginc.ca And it might be a bit convoluted. It's not convoluted, but if you go to singsonginc.ca, just look up artists and find Fergus O'Byrne, you'll find it. And it's live at the Newfoundland Museum. But it's a full recording. It's not like cut up into tracks or anything. You download the whole thing. I think it's about 52 minutes.
Right. So going back to Ryan's Fantasy, what was your breakthrough? What was the big...
The big breakthrough was television. We had been playing in St. John's, and we were very fortunate that at the time CBC had mandated that they would regionalize as much as possible. So they were sending producers to various parts of the country to come up with shows to do. And we were very fortunate that Jack Kellum ended up in St. John's. Jack, who went on to produce, the wonderful Grand Band and 22 Minutes. But he saw us, and between himself and ourselves, came up with this idea to explore the culture of Newfoundland and to meet up with the tradition bearers of Newfoundland through the eyes of three Irish people who had moved to Newfoundland. And so the show developed. We went on the road with it. It was very, very much a folkloric sort of approach. It wasn't just entertainment. We did interviews. We went to the villages, the towns, the communities these people lived in, and where they were more relaxed. And then we developed the show. The show expanded out into the Maritimes, into Nova Scotia, Cape Breton, PEI, and New Brunswick. And that show was national on CBC for 4 or 5 years. And then we started doing specials. We did a couple of specials in Ireland, and we did, so that was the break. We were a television band as such, but then we were also doing live shows all the time too. So you're busy, but, we packed a lot into 13 years.
Because before I immigrated to Canada, the name Ryan's Fantasy had come back across the Atlantic. And I was from somewhere or other, your music had popped up on RTE or somewhere. But I had heard of you guys before we ever emigrated.
Oh, yes, you would have. Yeah, because there was, and we were pretty savvy, even though it was rudimentary in the time. We were pretty savvy about promoting ourselves. Totally different from today, Jeannie. Social media is just, it's amazing and incredible and daunting. But we would push and work hard at promotion and stuff. And the fact that we would go back to Ireland once a year and tour, especially on the West Coast, down around Dennis's country, down in near Limerick, Cully, and up along the coast into Galway and on up to Sligo and stuff like that, down to Kerry. So the name was known, and we got airplay, got radio play. Yeah. And the music we were doing, of course, was we were doing a mixture of Irish and Newfoundland, and the Newfoundland music was new to the Irish broadcasters, and they showed an interest in it.
Right.
Like this, for example, one show that, one song for us in particular from Newfoundland that became fairly well known in Ireland was a song called Star of Logie Bay. And I remember we were at a session, myself and my son and my wife were at a session down in Skibbereen with Seamus Gray. And myself and Fergus, my son, he's a recording player, sitting in on the session with Seamus and that. And my wife was sitting up at the bar, and there was a fellow there, an older gentleman. As soon as he heard that Irene was from Newfoundland, he said, "I'll sing you a song now I heard on the wireless, The Star of Logie Bay." But he sang it, and he used to call it Rogie Bay instead of Logie Bay. He was corrected. Right. But yeah, so, we were known at, and England and Australia, and it was, the other thing was that the Tommy Makem Ryan's Fantasy show was syndicated and was shown in Ireland as in England as in Australia. Right. So, we kind of made the rounds.
Brilliant. So here we are. We're in St. Patrick's Week. What's St. Patrick's Week like around in St. John's, Newfoundland? Is there can you walk down George Street?
Oh yeah, it's huge. It's a huge Every pub will have some Irish entertainment in it. Mm. And O'Reilly's in particular, the one that I work with, that's fairly exclusive to O'Reilly's most days. And when I'm in St. John's, it started this morning, Friday morning, started at 10 o'clock. So I was on midday for a couple of hours, and that'll run through to 3 o'clock this morning. And then Saturday, same thing, Sunday, the same thing. And they have food and carvery, and they have a huge big, fried breakfast on Sunday morning that myself and my son Fergus Brown are born, accordion player, concertina player. We've been doing it for 17 years now.
Is the awareness of the connection between Newfoundland and Ireland static, receding, or growing?
I think it fluctuates. It comes in waves, I think. There's more of a, with social media, I mean, I think people are more inclined to be, those people who want to be aware of it. I mean, it's not, you know, I don't think everybody in Newfoundland or everybody in Ireland knows about each other, but there have been certainly moves to keep it alive and to promote the idea that Newfoundland is a pocket of, you know, of Irish people, especially this part of Newfoundland. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, people look at Newfoundland and think, oh, it's all Irish. But, it's, you know, when you really, Newfoundland was settled 60% from people from the Dorset, west of England.
Right.
But the main Irish settlements are on this coast here, St. John's, the Southern Shore and the Cape yeah. Shore. Yeah. And, for example, Aidan O'Hara, who was a great broadcaster on RTE, he lived here for many years
right.
and did major collections on the Southern Shore. There's a fabulous website from Ireland called itma.ie.
Yes.
And if people go on that, there's a fabulous, fabulous expose of the Newfoundland music and material and songs and stories. It's quite a fabulous collection.
I was in there last year, and I did an interview, and we talked exactly about that. That was with Liam O'Connor.
Right, yes.
Yeah, Liam is the current director there. And that was specifically when I went in to talk to Liam. That was what I wanted to talk to Liam about, was
yes.
the musical connection. And I because it's so rich and goes back so long, because so many people think that the relationship between North America and Ireland commenced in the 1840s.
Oh, but yes, yeah.
But so much of the relationship in Newfoundland goes back to the 1615, 1600s.
Well, that's what I always say about the Irish descendants and the Irish people in Newfoundland, is the Irish in Newfoundland were pre-famine.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have that famine angst that mm-hmm. a lot of Irish did have in North America. Because mm-hmm. they were here to work. And in fact, you know, if you go back in the paperwork, like the young workers from Ireland coming from Waterford and Wexford, they were coming over to Newfoundland to work. They'd stay a year and a half, but they were making more money in Newfoundland at the fishery than they would have been making at home. Mm-hmm. So it was very lucrative for them young men to come over here and back and forward all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite. I remember we were in a B&B. The band was over on tour, and we were down in Waterford, and we were hanging around. I happened to pick up a book about shipbuilding, and they were talking about the connection to Newfoundland. And I remember reading that in 1 week, in the early 1700s, in 1 week, 5,000 pigs had been slaughtered to be salted and sent over to Newfoundland for the fishery. And that's in 1 week. I mean, it was huge. You know, Waterford Crystal mm-hmm. was built on the money that came from the Newfoundland fishery.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an amazing connection.
We're going to play a piece of music, but I want to play, first of all, before I play a little piece from the live album, I want to play a little of Ryan's Fancy.
Okay.
And what should I play what would you say would be the tune from Ryan's Fancy that people are going to recognize most?
Run, will roar like true Newfoundlanders.
Okay. You are listening to Irish Radio Canada's Home Abroad. We're chatting with Fergus O'Byrne, and we are talking about St. Patrick's Day and St. Patrick's activities in Newfoundland. And we're particularly talking about a live concert that took place at the Newfoundland Museum on St. Patrick's Day in 2001. Fergus, how did this come about? How did the event of the St. Patrick's Day 2001 happen?
Well, it's funny, and you know, I was doing an interview with CBC today just, and I was saying that, you know, back in that time, I was always pitching shows to CBC just as part of my career. I, you know, and CBC were very open to stuff like that at the time, so it was great. And like I did shows on the First World War and some of the songs related to that, and myself and Jim Payne, who I worked with. And I did a show on the McNulty's, who had come here to Newfoundland in 1955 and made a huge, huge impression on the local population. So I pitched this idea of a show connecting Newfoundland and Ireland through songs that were common, to both Ireland and Newfoundland. Songs that you might have heard. For example, I'll tell you one story. One of the songs on it, I didn't send this particular version to you, but one of the songs on it is a song called The Waterford Boys. We are the boys with the fall of the elegance, laughing. And, anyway, years ago, when I first started collecting songs and singing songs, I came across a recording of a fellow by the name of Tim Lyons, a great Irish singer, singing the Waterford Boys, and it really struck my fancy, so I learned the song. And lo and behold, when we were doing Ryan's Fancy shows, we were up in a place called Fleur-de-Lis, a little tiny little village way up in the northeast coast of Newfoundland. And we were staying at a B&B at the time, and the next morning we were down having breakfast, and there were singers in there singing all sorts of songs. And next minute, here's a fella singing in my ears, singing the Waterford Boys to me. And I said, where did you learn that song? He said, oh, that's a local song. We have that here for years. So that sort of struck me as really interesting. So I started researching songs that were common that may have been sung here and also collected in Ireland. And one of the songs I sent you actually is the Bold Dennis McCarthy. And the version that I sang on that show, again, was I found it in an Irish songbook. I can't remember the Irish songbook I found it in. But that song is being collected in Newfoundland and England and in Ireland. But the only version, the version that I sing is the only version that actually mentions Newfoundland in it. So it's an Irish version of the song, but like the song Dennis McCarthy, he gets on board of a boat and he ends up in most songs, he ends up in it's called The City of Baltimore, ends up in the States. But in this particular song, he ends up getting into a big racket on the boat, getting off the boat in Newfoundland, and he won't go back. So I just found that really fascinating at the time. And so that's the kind of stuff we explore. And on the concert, we've got two Newfoundlanders, a flute player, Jerry Strong, and a fiddle player, Colin Carrigan, who play some tunes that are similar to Newfoundland and Ireland. For example, one of the most famous ones, I guess, is here in Newfoundland, it's called Mussels in the Corner, but in Ireland, it's a polka called Maggie in the Woods. So there's all that stuff going on. And so the concert itself is just a full concert with the, you know, all the explanations and the banter and, you know, a regular live concert.
So, Fergus, we should give the details again if anyone wants to get their hands on where they can get or listen to this.
Yes, you just go to Sing Song Inc., all one word, singsonginc.ca. And once you're in there, look at artists and find me, Fergus O'Byrne. Click on me and you go straight to the museum show.
Fergus, thank you very much indeed for taking the time. It's great chatting with you. Powerful, and always great to connect and connect across the from one end of the country to the other, and I'm delighted to be able to connect into Newfoundland when it is. And what it would have been a national holiday is now a provincial holiday down there as well, in recognition Indeed. Of the strong Irish connection.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks.